Today we have a special guest, Ms. Danielle Dunbar. She works on the bishop's staff down at Carpenter House. She is the director of mission funding for the Episcopal Diocese here in Alabama. She helped raise funds for Bethany Village at Camp McDowell and other things, and I'll invite her to tell you a little bit more about what she does. Welcome, Danielle. Come on up.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. So just to tell you a little bit more about what I do, I am lucky to get to work on stewardship, both financial and environmental. My degree is actually in environmental science from Auburn, and so that brings in the environmental side. But because of that, I ended up working at Camp McDowell for many years and just loved it, and was able to work on the Bethany campaign, so that brought me into the financial side of stewardship. And once that kind of wrapped up, the bishop invited me to be on staff at Carpenter House. And today, I am a resource to all of our parishes, all 87, at any time you might need. And I help with annual campaigns. I also help with any sort of fundraising events, ideas, big capital campaigns, try to be a resource for that. And also for planned giving or legacy giving. I think that's one of the ways of stewardship we tend to put on the back burner and forget about, but leaving our church in our will is a really wonderful way to leave a big gift, especially for those of us who maybe don't have big gifts to give during our lifetime, but to leave it afterwards would be a lovely thing. And I also hope that Holy Apostles remembers that to encourage folks who are 70 and a half and older, that they're able to make gifts out of their IRA as a qualified charitable distribution. So those are a great tax benefit. If you haven't thought about that, I hope that you will. If your financial folks send that directly to the church, that's an above the line deduction. So I have all kinds of tricks like that. But again, thank you for having me here today. And we'll open with prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Our reading this morning from Luke is a challenging one, as so many of Jesus' parables are. I think Jesus tells this story not to tell us about God, but to teach us about the persistence we as disciples should have in our life of faith. In the summer of 2015, I first met Johnny Erickson Tata and heard her tell her story. Johnny's story began one late July afternoon on the Chesapeake Bay with her sister and friends. Johnny dove off a raft into the dark, murky, cold water of the bay and immediately felt her head hit something hard. Her body sprawled out of control. Johnny said she heard or felt a loud electric buzzing, an unexplainable inner sensation, something like an electrical shock combined with a vibration. She did not yet understand it, but she had severed her spinal cord, broken two vertebrae, and was paralyzed from the neck down. Thankfully, her sister Kathy realized she had not come up for air and dove into the water to find her. Johnny was rushed to the hospital and into surgery, spending a good deal of time in the ICU on a striker frame that allowed the nurses to turn her every 2 hours. She could only see the ceiling and then the floor directly in front of her. The surgery necessitated that her head be held in large metal tongs that pulled her head away from her body. During this time, Johnny was terrified by all she did not know and afraid that, like others in the ICU, that she might die there. Johnny finally made it out of the hospital and wrestled with how she could do something with her life as a quadriplegic. With her long-term hospital stay and disabilities, Johnny had missed the opportunity to go to college. Friends were moving forward and she was stuck. Johnny slowly came to terms with the fact that she was a quadriplegic and felt absolutely helpless. But here's the important part of the story. With faith and a lot of persistence, Johnny became an accomplished artist without the use of her hands. Placing a pen or paintbrush in her mouth, she was able to do beautiful works of art. Today, she's also an inspirational speaker and the director of a nonprofit organization called Johnny and Friends. This organization provides wheelchairs, training for volunteers in disability ministry, and family retreats at wonderful, wonderful places like Bethany at Camp McDowell. It took an amazing amount of persistence for Johnny to overcome her physical limitations and begin to share her God-given gifts and talents. We know that persistence is the determination to do something even though it is difficult. And this is what our gospel reading from today is all about. A spiritual practice is regular, intentional, transformational, and it grows our relationship with God. We are called to be persistent in spiritual practices like prayer, like fasting, study, forgiveness, gratitude, and generosity. They all take persistence. A spiritual practice that has become more and more important to me is proportional giving, but it has certainly taken persistence. My childhood included roller skating to the Bee Gees, freely roaming the neighborhood, and vacationing in our pop-up camper. It was wonderful, even abundant in so many ways. Yet I was raised in a household with a fearful view of money and an attitude of scarcity. Growing up in a single-parent household contributed to these fears of not having enough, and at the same time, my mom was a ridiculously generous person. She always gave beautiful birthday presents. She baked gourmet Christmas cookies for family, friends, acquaintances, even the mailman. So growing up, I had these competing attitudes about money that included both holding on to money out of fear and generosity that came from a place of compassion. After graduating from Auburn, I worked for an environmental nonprofit. Mailing addresses of members and staff were shared between our organization and others. Suddenly, I started to receive a lot of those appeal letters. As someone with student loans who was working at a nonprofit for a minimal salary, I initially thought, I'm giving my time and talent to this cause, which is more than most people. That should be enough. But I had the nagging thought that it wasn't really enough. I finally relented and gave my first $25. And to my surprise, it felt great. It made me feel rich and generous. I received a nice thank you note afterwards, but what was most gratifying was that I felt I belonged. I felt I was truly working with a group of people committed to the same cause. As a young mother, I began to have a relationship with God that I had never experienced before. I attended church again, and along with an improved understanding of the Gospels, I began to hear about pledging and stewardship. Although it was hard, I still struggled with a competing attitude of fear and generosity. I stepped out in faith, like my mom, making all those Christmas cookies at a time of year when our time and budgets are more limited. I made my first pledge to the church. While it was difficult, it also felt great. It made me feel rich all over again. Through persistence, by giving in uncertainty or when I felt like giving up, I am now a proportional first fruits giver. This means I have taken a proportion of my income and set it aside for God's work and God's church. The first electronic check every pay period that leaves my account goes to St. Stephen's. It's the first of what I am paid and what I give away, not what's left at the end of the month. I do this to deepen my relationship with God and to grow my faith. In Luke chapter 12, while Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and to the cross, Jesus tells his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, nor about your body, what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?" Jesus says repeatedly, "Do not be anxious and do not be afraid." By giving a percentage of my income to St. Stephen's, I test myself in that regard, and I deepen my relationship with God. Learning to fully trust and depend on God will take a lifetime. Talk about persistence. But making an increasingly larger proportional gift each year allows me to grow this trust and my faith in ways I never expected. Now, I cannot imagine anyone learning to be generous without first being persistent. Being generous is a learned behavior, like children learning to share their toys. We all know learning new things takes repetition. Johnny Erickson Tada had to find her meaning and purpose over insurmountable physical limitations, setback after setback. In order to move out of the hospital and into a rehab facility, Johnny had to get stronger. She struggled how to learn to lift her arm just an inch off the bed by using muscles in her back. It was a completely new way of lifting. Johnny tried again and again and again until she finally made some progress, lifting her arm that one inch off the bed. It was mentally and physically exhausting and uncomfortable, and Johnny was not certain she would succeed, but she persisted. Persistence in generosity is not easy. There will be times when it is simply tedious. The check each month will not always result in great feelings. I have heard that Bishop Stow said he could not guarantee that if you are tithing, you will always have enough. In fact, he would say, "I can guarantee you will have 10% less than you had." But he would continue, "I can tell you that I have been tithing for years and have never lacked anything I needed and quite a bit that I just wanted." Like any of us who struggle with what percentage of our income God is calling us to give this year, we must be persistent. You must try again and again and not lose heart. God will respond, and in fact, we know the only way we can accomplish things is with God's help. Faith and generosity have a lot in common. They both start with persistence. Both lead us to a greater dependence on God and ultimately to the freedom of God's kingdom. My husband and I filled out our pledge card just this week. I ask that you do the same. Set the amount that God gives you. Do it for holy apostles, but do it mostly for you and your relationship with God. Let us close in prayer with a beautiful reminder about our faith and generosity from the Church of Wales. Let us pray. Infinite Lord and eternal God, rouse your church in this place, restore your people's sense of mission, and revive your work in holiness and strength. By your Spirit, teach us to give our energy, our time, our money, our service, and our prayer, that your kingdom may be advanced here and in all the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.